There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So now it's time for Castaway, where we strand a different lucky guest each week on a desert island with only three books to read. This week on the island, we have Emirates Airline Festival of Literature author Levison Wood.
Castaway, what's your literary sustenance on a desert island?
Now, Levison's had quite an impressive few months and years, in fact. He's an explorer, he's an adventurer. To give you an idea of just how brilliant he is, here's a bit of information on Levison.
Every writer has a different source of inspiration. For London-based Levison Wood, it's wild nature adventures. The author, explorer, and photographer has a knack for documenting his interaction with people and cultures in remote regions, as well as post-conflict zones, and turning them into award-winning books and documentaries. His works have been shown across international networks, including the BBC, Discovery Channel, and National Geographic, and published in The Telegraph, Financial Times, and Condé Nast Traveler. Levison's second book, Walking the Himalayas, was voted Adventure Travel Book of the Year at the Edward Stanford Travel Writing Awards, and his other books, Walking the Nile and Walking the Americas, were both Sunday Times bestsellers. He's presented several critically acclaimed documentaries, including Russia to Iran, Crossing the Wild Frontier, where he retraced part of his Silk Road adventures as detailed in the book Eastern Horizons in a four-part series. He spent a number of years as an officer in the British Parachute Regiment, where he served in Afghanistan fighting against Taliban insurgents in Helmand, Kandahar, and Kabul in 2008.
So there you go, a little bit of information there about Levison Wood. Now we're going to transport you to the island, where I've just asked Levison what the first book he's brought with him is.
So the first book is an old classic, probably more than that. In fact, The Odyssey by Homer. This, you know, it's, I think, the second oldest book in Western literature. It's one of the first books that I read as a child. It was something my father read to me as a bedtime story.
For someone who's just spent 4.5 months travelling 5,000 miles around the Arabian Peninsula, not to mention previous expeditions, I can see why a book about a 20-year journey might be on your list. But what is it specifically about this book that makes you want to turn to it again and again?
Well, I think it was probably one, it was something that clearly stuck in my memory from childhood, because I think it's just the ultimate adventure story. And you know, in terms of journeys, it was the forerunner for everybody else's. So it's the original journey, and for me, you know, I think the style of writing, the way that the story's structured, has had a profound impact on my own writing. You know, it's something that I always refer back to when I'm writing my books. Is the way in which storytelling, actually over the course of thousands of years, actually hasn't really changed all that much. And at the end of the day, if you're stuck on a desert island, you know, what better way to while away the days and weeks than to give you some comfort from the, you know, Odysseus's struggle with trying to get home over the course of 20 years.
If you could experience one particular scene from the Odyssey in Odysseus' shoes, what would it be?
Well, I think, to be honest, most of the things that Odysseus deals with, you probably wouldn't want to experience, quite frankly. But he had a couple of highlights. But I think probably just getting home and having to deal with the final battle, which was, of course, the biggest challenge, was when he got home to find that the suitors were, you know, invading his house, and his son was grown up, and he had to sort of arrive in disguise and come up with a cunning plan as to how he was going to announce his arrival after those years when everybody assumed that he's dead. But ultimately, like all good stories, it ends with a happy ending.
So I was reading Eastern Horizons, and kind of inside the book jacket it says you were only 22 when you decided to hitchhike from England to India, and it mentions that you have a fascination with the deeds of the early explorers. I mean, does Odysseus feel as real as those explorers to you?
Well, you know, I think, yes. I mean, whilst Odysseus was, of course, you know, there was a lot of fantasy in there, and dealing with sirens, and dealing with all of the various fantastical monsters along the way. Ultimately, it's all allegory for real-life events, and certainly the mythology, you know, going back to the oral tradition in ancient Greece, you know, this was all rooted in people's innate fears and the way that they interacted with the environment. You know, in those days, of course, they didn't know that things like tidal waves, tsunamis, and earthquakes weren't the result of some, you know, belligerent force. And so it was quite easy to believe that there were monsters and things back in those days. But so whilst the individual events weren't real, I think it's a perennial sort of idea, isn't it, that there are challenges to overcome. And of course, Odysseus dealing with them over the course of many years in his journey to get home has set the scene for untold adventures ever since.
Well, speaking of challenges and long journeys, it would be remiss of me if we're talking about the Odyssey not to ask you about your latest Odyssey. Anything in particular that you would call a challenge? I mean, the whole journey sounds like it was challenging in itself, but are there any particular kind of Odysseus-style moments that you want to share?
Well, in the spirit of the Odyssey, it certainly had all of those elements, really. I began, as Odysseus did, in a war zone. I began off on the Syria-Iraq border, where, you know, it was sort of a case of getting through as quickly as possible because of the threat of Daesh, ISIS. And then, you know, heading down towards the Gulf into, you know, a much more stable and calmer area, but then faced with, you know, subsequent challenges of all descriptions, you know, going across the Empty Quarter Desert in Oman, the environmental challenge there of dealing with extremes of heat and, you know, just dealing with where do you get your water from and things like this. Coming up against, you know, the impenetrable borders that, you know, of course, what's happening with Yemen, so having to go around Yemen, and the only way to do that was by dhow. So I took chartered a boat going around the Gulf of Aden, and you know, instead of getting dropped off in Djibouti, which was the original plan, we got dropped off in Somalia, which as you can imagine was a bit on the edgy side. So it was lots of unknowns, lots of moments of uncertainty. And then, you know, sort of going up the western coastline as well, through Jordan. It's very beautiful, spectacular places. You know, and then, you know, the final challenge was, again, going through Syria on the last bit, going through Damascus in a bid towards getting to Lebanon over the mountains down towards the Mediterranean Sea, which, of course, was the old stomping ground of Odysseus. So, in many ways, it did have all the hallmarks. It had the sea journey. It had the crossing of extreme environments. And ultimately, you know, my goal was to try and get an understanding of not only the environment and the terrain, but also a bit of an insight into the culture and the people that I met along the way.
That was Leveson Wood with his first Castaway book, Homer's Odyssey, which surprised me at the time, but now seems completely understandable. So I've mentioned that Leveson is coming to the Literature Festival this year, but I haven't told you what he's doing when he gets here. Now, I'll tell you about one of those things just now. Now, he's got his main program session happening at the festival, but one thing that we haven't really talked about much on the show yet are the workshops and masterclasses that are happening. Now, I'm mentioning these now because they do sell out quite fast, so if there are any that look like you want to go to, do get them now. You can go to emiratelitfest.com and find out more information from there. But Leveson's masterclass is about travel writing, as you'd expect. So after his first Castaway choice, the structure of it makes a lot of sense. Using examples from the history of travel writing, from Homer's Odyssey to Shantaram, he will explore what secrets they use to make journeys come alive. Now, workshops sell out pretty quickly, as I mentioned, so if you are interested or know someone else who is, do bear that in mind.
Castaway. What's your literary sustenance on a desert island?
It's quite fitting that we're doing Castaway today. Well, we usually do it, but yesterday was Groundhog Day, and a question that I've been asking the listeners today, remember you can answer by texting into 4001 along with all the competition questions, is if you had to live the same day over and over again and you had to read the same book over and over again, what would your Groundhog Day book be? There were lots of really wonderful choices on BookTrust Twitter feed, and that's why I'm asking the question today. No, you cannot choose a series. You have to pick a single book. We are going to be a little bit mean about this. Now, back to the island. Leveson Wood is who we've stranded on the island. He's an award-winning explorer, photographer, and author appearing at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature this year. But all these credentials won't save him from our clutches on Castaway. as we continue to strand him on a desert island until he spilled all of his book secrets. He's told us about his first book that he'd take with him, which was The Odyssey by Homer. And this is what he had to say when I asked him about book number two.
Well, yes. So, well, if we're stuck on a desert island, you know, one has to entertain oneself. So, yeah. I've chosen Flashman here. And for those people that haven't read any of the Flashman series, it's by George MacDonald Fraser, who was an old soldier writing in the 1960s. And it involves a fictional character who's a British army officer who's a total coward and a fraud and a bit of a cad, and he goes off and finds himself in all sorts of predicaments, usually of his own making, and generally escapes not only unscathed but usually with a good few medals and accolades along the way. And whilst it's fictional, he bases all of these adventures in historical fact, but it's actually a very good reference point if you're interested in 19th century military history, because it's actually all based on true stories but with a fictional lead. And as a sort of former soldier myself, this is standard reading, really, in terms of something slightly light-hearted and tongue-in-cheek. But it was great, and I've travelled in a lot of the same places that this character has travelled through, so it's actually a great insight as a bit of intro reading into a lot of the countries that I've travelled in. And also it's very, very funny, and it's not, I have to say, not the most PC of books, but then again, you want to bear in mind the era in which it was written, but very entertaining nonetheless.
Sounds entertaining. It also sounds like Flashman is a bit of a bully and a bit of an unlikable character.
Yeah, no, he's very much the Victorian anti-hero. He's not a particularly pleasant chap at all. But at the same time, the way in which the storytelling is recounted by George MacDonald Fraser, he makes him a bit of a likable rogue in some ways. It's one of these characters that you're not meant to necessarily like him, but you have to sort of admire the way in which he gets out of these troubles.
You mentioned earlier the fact that The Odyssey was read to you when you were younger, and that's probably why you take it with you on your island, why it stuck with you over the years. Mm. What happens in this is, so he travels to Scotland, India, Afghanistan in the Flashman book that we're talking about, like you did. Did you read this before you went travelling? What time in your life did you read this?
Well, I was introduced to the Flashman series, I think, probably at university. So I did read it before I went to Afghanistan. And it's actually a very good background into the first Anglo-Afghan War in 1842. Because, of course, this Flashman himself, he interacts with a lot of the real characters that were alive at the time, the real people that dealt with that particular era in history. And for the subsequent, I think there's about 10 books in the series, again, he deals with all of the major players of the time. So whilst it's fiction, actually, a lot of it is actually looking at the psychology and the characters and the personalities of those people that were very famous, 150 years ago.
Because he meets real people along the way on these journeys, you do the same thing, obviously, when you're travelling. Were there any moments that you particularly remember in terms of interacting with the people that you met along the way?
Well, I mean, that's the whole point of these journeys. It is those interactions. It's not just getting from A to B. It's not the physical element. Well, that's a part of it, really. These journeys are a way of interacting with local people, finding out their stories and sharing their stories. But of course, that inevitably involves a number of escapades along the way, because not everybody you meet is necessarily on side. Most people are, and luckily I've been taken in and taken care of pretty much everywhere I've been to, but occasionally you meet people that don't necessarily want you there. And so in the spirit of Flashman, there's been a number of spectacular and not so spectacular escapes out of trouble.
Levison Wood there with his second Desert Island book, which was the Flashman series by George MacDonald Fraser. Now, I've told you about the travel masterclass that Leveson is going to be giving at the Literature Festival, but his main programme session is something that I want to mention as well. So it's called Hitchhiking the Silk Road. It's happening on Saturday, the 10th of March. So best-selling author, explorer and photographer Leveson Wood, who was just on air with us, takes us on an epic journey across continents. In his new book, Eastern Horizons, Hitchhiking the Silk Road, he recounts his shoestring budget journey from England to India and the eccentric and occasionally dangerous characters he encountered on the way. And for his next book, he'll be mounting his most complex expedition yet, travelling around the Arabian Peninsula.
Castaway, what's your literary sustenance on a desert island?
He's attending the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature and he has quite the CV. If you missed it earlier, here's some background on our desert island victim.
Every writer has a different source of inspiration. For London-based Leveson Wood, it's wild nature adventures. The author, explorer, and photographer has a knack for documenting his interaction with people and cultures in remote regions, as well as post-conflict zones, and turning them into award-winning books and documentaries. His works have been shown across international networks, including the BBC, Discovery Channel, and National Geographic, and published in The Telegraph, Financial Times, and Condé Nast Traveler. Leveson's second book, Walking the Himalayas, was voted Adventure Travel Book of the Year at the Edward Stanford Travel Writing Awards, and his other books, Walking the Nile and Walking the Americas, were both Sunday Times bestsellers. He's presented several critically acclaimed documentaries, including Russia to Iran, Crossing the Wild Frontier, where he retraced part of his Silk Road adventures as detailed in the book Eastern Horizons in a four-part series. He spent a number of years as an officer in the British Parachute Regiment, where he served in Afghanistan fighting against Taliban insurgents in Helmand, Kandahar, and Kabul in 2008.
So we've had The Odyssey by Homer as his first choice, the Flashman series by George MacDonald Fraser, and this third choice is a non-fiction title that you will definitely have heard of. It's been immensely popular and it's sold over 1 million copies since its publication in English in 2014.
So this book, my third choice, is Sapiens, and it's a book that basically recounts the history of humankind, and it's quite a big topic to indulge in, and but at the same time he does it very, very well. He sort of looks into human biology, psychology, and all of the different facets of what it means to be a human, and looks how humans have evolved. And the author, Yuval Noah Harari, he's a historian who looks at sort of macro history, so looking at trends, not just over the course of decades, but over the course of millions of years. And so it's a very good perspective on why people behave the way they do, and also, how we've become what we are, and how the human being has evolved into the dominant force, and how we were able in just a short amount of time to have invented so many amazing things. So it takes into account technology, and how, potentially where we're going as humans as well.
One thing that that caught my eye as I was reading about this online was the fact that, particularly for a Talking of Book show, what he talks about when he describes fiction as being very important, the concept of fiction and imagination setting us apart as a species.
Absolutely. I mean, he breaks history down into four major parts.
Right.
He talks about the cognitive revolution from 70,000 years ago, when sapiens evolved imagination, and he basically stipulates that this was the biggest development in the human brain, because by imagining fiction, by imagining stories and storytelling, this is what enables humans to invent things like language, and that's what differentiates us from the rest of the animal kingdom, because by imagining things that don't exist in reality, that's how we can communicate more effectively. So rather than chimpanzees or other animals that can kind of grunt and point at a predator or a threat or a water source or something that's there and is visual, and you don't need to sort of communicate very much to say that is something over there. What he talks about is the way that human language and the human brain evolved, just something as simple as maybe there is a river over the next hill, but because they've not seen this before, it's the concept of a fiction. There's no established fact that exists, but by imagining that there is, that enabled people to become the first explorers, and that enabled people to travel and to go and see what's beyond the next mountain. I think that's a very important thing, and that led on to humans becoming more and more developed.
Speaking of what's beyond the next mountain, what's next for you? I know you've literally just got back, and it's probably the question that you absolutely hate, but what is next? Have you even had a moment to think about that?
Well, I've only been back less than a week, so I'm concentrating now, I'm putting my feet up. I'm going to enjoy living in London. I've got my next book to write, so I'm going to write the book about the Arabian journey in the next couple of months, so that's a pretty tight deadline. But and then, of course, I'm coming to Dubai for the Literature Festival in March, so looking forward to that as well.
What are you most looking forward to?
The Literature Festival?
Yeah.
I think it's an opportunity to meet some very inspiring authors, actually, with some of the people that I've read and been inspired by, like William Dalrymple, who's coming, a few other guys. So I think, yeah, it's a great opportunity. And obviously, I was there on the last journey, so it'd be good to come back and catch up with some old friends. But no, I just Dubai's a very enjoyable, fun place to be. So I think it'll be great.
Seeing this is a Talking of Books show, I do have to ask about your writing. Just one quick question, and that's for aspiring travel writers, what's the one piece of advice that you would give them?
Aspiring travel writers, one piece of advice is, so I think every character that you introduce into the book, you've got to, I always make a point of making sure that the reader is aware of what their agenda is, because I think that just makes it more real. So I think it's important to always ask the character what they want, what they want out of life, and express that in some ways. And it doesn't have to be big, deep thoughts, you know, world peace. It can just be somebody who wants a glass of water, you know. And I think just by humanising people, that really brings it alive.
What are you trying to do in every book that you write about your journeys?
I'm trying to take people on an adventure in the same way as Odysseus and Flashman. I think that's what it is. You know, life is a journey, and I think life can be very exciting and fun as long as you sort of make it that way and adopt the right mindset. So with my books and my journeys, you know, I think it's taking the reader on that from an action-packed adventure. Of course, you know, these journeys take me 4, 5, sometimes 9 months at a time. Not everything is action-packed and fun, but compressing it into 400 pages or so, I think you can really tell a great story and hopefully show people a part of the world that they might not ever get to visit themselves, but at least can read about.
That was Leveson Wood with the third book that he's taken to his desert island. It was Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind. Now, that's the three books done for Leveson, so we have released him from the island, but you can speak to him and ask him questions and go to his sessions at the Emirates Literature Festival this year.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.